Now, Housing Minister Dara O'Brien has said that he is seriously concerned as new figures reveal another rise in the number of homeless people in Ireland. The official figures for March show that a total of 9,825 people were homeless. That's an increase of 3.5% since the February figures. This increase, of course, comes as the government is struggling to cope with the unprecedented challenge of finding suitable accommodation for thousands of Ukrainian refugees. Minister Josepha Madigan, on that issue, I see your Fine Gael colleague John Cummins has a statement out today calling for what he's calling an incentivisation scheme to encourage owners of holiday homes to open up their homes for their holiday homes to Ukrainian families, saying that they should get between 800 and 1,000 euro a month. Is that something that's being considered, do you know?
I'm not sure if it's being considered by Dara O'Brien, but I think it is a good proposition. There are a number of holiday homes throughout the country that I think people would be very amenable to helping with. But I do think to incentivise them, it would be good if they could get a financial recompense for doing that. Some of the holiday homes may not be suitable. They may not, you know, they could be just holiday homes per se, and maybe perhaps not for permanent accommodation. But we need to make sure that we pull every lever that we can to try and assist the Ukrainian refugees. And we're doing that under the International Protection Accommodation Service. And, you know, it's taking obviously a huge amount of resources across government with the assistance of the Civil Defence and the Defence Forces to make sure that we have, you know, obviously temporary accommodation to begin with, which Roderick O'Gorman is dealing with, and then under Dara O'Brien, more medium-term and long-term planning. So we have, for example, 500 vacant buildings, about 89 of those will be available, for which will accommodate about 5,000 refugees. We also have private offers of accommodation. There's about 20,000 of those. And obviously the hotels and guest houses and B&Bs have been blockbooked for about 6 months also. But the main thing is to try to first of all find out how many need to be accommodated, which not everybody who comes into the country. There's about 26,300 refugees in the country at the moment, and about 17,000 of those are looking for accommodation.
The scale of it, when you scale out the numbers, is
huge.
Really, and we're here, the idea that modular homes are back in the mix now, because it's only 4 weeks ago that Leo Varadkar was telling us, oh no, modular homes are not the answer here.
Yeah, well, you can always, you know, look at something and then discount and then decide actually it may be a good idea. And I think that the as long as they comply to building regulation standard, I know the OPW is tasked with looking at that. The Construction Federation of Ireland has met with the Humanitarian Crisis Housing Task Force, has given, you know, a number of different options.
Isn't the issue going
housing.
To be,
there'll though, be about 500
isn't
of those.
The issue going to be, you know, even if we have companies supplying this housing, where will we put it? And where, you know, first of all, you're going to have to find,
we need
the,
to
service,
find the service sites. Yeah.
Would you welcome, for instance, in your constituency, a development, a modular housing development?
I would, of course, if there's a service site. I mean, that's going to be the first thing. And I think one of the issues around,
because there will
this,
be objections to
one,
this.
One of the issues, well, I mean, there's objections all the time to housing in different particular areas. But, you know, we need housing. And, you know, I don't think anybody doesn't want to help the Ukrainian refugees, you know, at this particular moment in time. But it's difficult to even have a cost for that
until we establish
where the service sites are.
The holiday home idea is eminently sensible. It was proposed in a very detailed policy paper by the Refugee Council of Ireland a number of weeks ago to government. There are 62,000 holiday homes across the state. All we need is maybe 5 or 10% of them. That would give you 3,000 to 6,000 accommodation units, and that would fill the immediate emergency gap. It would also
be eminently better accommodation than what we're talking about.
The two next sentence I was going to make is much better accommodation for the families involved in, say, hotel rooms or communal, and it would also be cheaper. What I can tell you is this: the Department of Housing officials told the Oireachtas Committee in a private briefing on Tuesday they are not considering it.
They're not considering it.
They said it would be a matter for Roderick O'Gorman, the Department of Children. And it is not currently being considered or implemented by that department either. And the problem is this: we want to work with the government on all of this. We share exactly the same aim, which is to provide the maximum level of refuge to those people fleeing the war. But it is quicker to put somebody in a holiday home, obviously with the consent of the owner, if you give them a 12-month licence agreement, so there's legal certainty and some modest payment, as the Refugee Council, and indeed John Cummins, who sits on the committee with me, and I agree with him, would be sensible. It is quicker and cheaper to do that than try and refurbish former hospitals or prisons, or indeed to provide low-quality modular. And I've seen some of the documentation that's circulating between the Construction Industry Federation. I've seen some of the documentation circulating between the Construction Industry Federation and government for low-grade, Mosny-type modular villages. That is not where we want to go. We could provide really good permanent homes using off-site construction technology for everybody. We should be doing that. But the holiday homes is a quick win if government was to embrace it.
And was there an explanation for why neither of those departments are considering this?
Here's the frustrating thing. For 2 weeks, we've heard different government ministers saying, oh, well, maybe we'll have a payment for people who take refugees. Maybe we won't. Meanwhile, we're forking out huge amounts of money for hotels. And again, I'm not objecting to the use of hotels. Yeah, they need to be used. But holiday homes is the quickest and the best. The quickest and the best.
I've just
approach.
Said that I think the holiday homes is a good idea.
But Brian has just said that the ministers, the ministers in your government are not considering.
Your government is not pursuing that proposition that was made to them by an expert organisation, the Irish Refugee Council, 4 weeks ago. I think you should go back and have a conversation with Dara and Roderick.
This is an ongoing situation. We're in a crisis situation. You know, things that may not have seemed, you know, of use at the start of a crisis can actually, as it transpires, as it goes along. So what I'm saying, I'm not going to speak on behalf of Dara Brian because I'm not sure his own personal views in relation to it. It's certainly something that I would support. And I know he's also approached the local government management agency around emergency vacant buildings as well to see what we can do around that.
Paul.
There's no point in kind of short-term solutions here that are going to turn into big waste of money and not be much use in a couple of years' time. You have to look at the crisis here in a holistic way, which means looking at the huge numbers of Ukrainian refugees who need quality accommodation, looking at the over 6,000 people who are currently languishing in direct provision, horrendous situation facing them, and looking at the now over 10,000 people who are on the official homeless figures, many more than that in reality
on
are
that,
homeless.
Is there a danger? Do you sense, because TDs that we spoke to this week said that they saw a shift in the type of emails and communications they were getting in the last couple of weeks, and that there did seem to be some sort of, if we could call it, a compassion ceiling, that people are now thinking we're competing now for a very scarce resource.
Well, I think there is huge solidarity with Ukrainian refugees. People see the pictures of the horrors that are being inflicted on people of Ukraine and understand why they're fleeing. There is huge sympathy and solidarity. What I think has caused problems for some people is the idea that all of a sudden things that weren't spoken about in terms of the homelessness crisis here, like taking vacant properties, like accelerating building, all of those things begin to be talked about now. And that causes a certain question for people. And I think the key thing to do is to say that everything now has to be done. If the government now is acknowledging we need to take over vacant properties, great. If the government is acknowledging we need to have massive public home building, great. But then that has to be done for everybody. We have to end direct provision. We shouldn't have a two-tier system of refugees where some refugees are treated in a more humane way than others. And we need to use it to address the housing crisis. That can be done. Again, it's a question of breaking with the market, breaking with reliance on private landlords, saying that the right of people to have a quality home comes before the right of all these others
very,
to profit.
Very quickly.
I don't believe there's a compassion ceiling at all. What I will say is there were a number of briefings given to newspapers last week to suggest that, for example, social housing voids and social housing acquisitions by local authorities were to be used as temporary accommodation for refugees. That is not the case. When we spoke to the department, they said it was never being considered. So why government sources were briefing that and it was being printed in the newspapers, I don't know. That did cause some concern, because if you have a daughter or a son who's 3 or 4 years in emergency accommodation and you hear that, that obviously creates a challenge for you. Thankfully, that is not the government's intention. The government is attempting to secure accommodation outside the housing system for refugees, and that's the right way to do it. But can I say this? For the minister to express a concern, as he did yesterday, with respect to the homeless figures, they have been increasing month on month for 6 months. Everybody knew this month's figures were going to say that. And until we deal with the two core problems, local authorities are not allowed by private rental homes with HAPA-RAS tenants with vacant possession notice to quit. That needs to be reversed.
We have to increase the supply of social housing.
Okay.
In Ireland,
very quickly,
where there are 16,000 households presenting as homeless in Northern Ireland, and a statutory homeless amount of 9,900, which is pretty much the same as here.
Okay.
We're three times the population.
Okay, but I want to move on. I just want to touch on this briefly, and I I don't want to be disrespectful by being so brief now, but I do want to ask you this question, Minister, because it's in relation to that very distressing domestic violence case that was before the courts yesterday, and the family of that murdered mother of two, Jennifer Poole. They're calling for a register for domestic violence those convicted of domestic violent crimes, in the same way as we currently have one for sexual crimes. Because, of course, they discovered in court that the man who murdered Jennifer had already served time for attacking a previous partner. Is that something that should be considered in your view? Because I know this is an area that you is close to your heart.
Have an interest in, yeah. You're correct. Under the Sexual Offenders Act, there is a register there that's available for the Gardaí to give out information around a sexual offender. I think it's definitely something that could be considered. I know Helen McEntee is going to be publishing the strategy on domestic, sexual and gender-based violence over the next number of weeks. It'll concentrate on four pillars: protection, prevention, prosecution and policy. It should be considered, absolutely. It's not for me to make a decision in relation to it. I think we're looking at very robust legislation around all sexual offences, around hate crime, about funding, about training for Gardaí, about preliminary hearings and supporting the victim's journey ultimately.
Okay, I'm going to take that break now.